Can we just sing that chorus again? Start with Christ. Okay.
Christ is the tree of life. He's the life supply. Let's choose the way of life. Take him in. Join him.
Amen.
Open deep within.
Amen.
And on his life depend.
Amen. Okay, dear saints, this weekend, starting from now, we are going to cover the messages that was covered recently at the International Chinese Speaking Conference. And that was held this year. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You can?
Yes.
Okay. In February of this year in Anaheim, California. Now, when we fellowship with the brothers concerning the content of this conference, we all feel good to cover these series of messages because many of the English-speaking saints really did not get into these messages. And you know why? It's because it was spoken in Chinese. And the English-speaking saints do not have the habit of listening to translation. So we were not quite sure if you have gone into it. Okay, that shows you the Chinese-speaking saints, 6 out of 7 feast every year, have been listening to translation. Did you hear what I just said? Talking about fairness. Anyway, it's because the Chinese-speaking saints are in the tree of life.
Amen.
So they don't care about translation, they care about the tree of life.
Amen.
Anyway, there are 5 messages to this conference. Now, there's no possibility that we can cover all of them in 3 sessions. This conference, there's only 3 meetings, this afternoon, tonight, and then tomorrow morning. And so it's one of the shortest conferences that I've ever gone to. So anyway, because of that, we will concentrate on messages 1, 3, and 5. Okay, but for the sake of completeness, and I spoke to the writers of these outlines, and they suggested that maybe for message 3, we will also dabble a little bit on message 2. And on message 5, we'll also do a little something with message 4. Then that way, it will be for completeness.
Amen.
Now, the rest of it, I feel that it would be good for the church in Winnipeg or the churches throughout Canada to get into these messages when the Holy Word for Morning Revival comes out. Okay, it hasn't come out yet. Well, at least in Vancouver, we have not received them. Okay, is that good so far?
Yeah.
Now, I also know that the students have just come back from a camping trip, literally this afternoon. I hope you have all had a chance to shower. Because this is a very enclosed space. anyway, but mainly it's so that you are awake, okay? So I just want to make sure that you are all awake. If I see somebody sleeping or dozing off, I may call on you. Okay. Anyway, we are here to enjoy the Lord. Okay. Now, before we get into this outline, I'd like to share an opening word, and this is taken from, there is a book called The Vision of the Tree of Life and of the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. I think this short word would truly open up this entire weekend.
Amen.
Okay, so when I read it, please pay attention. I welcome you to write notes. One way to stay awake is to write notes. Right, is to highlight the outline with your highlighter. Okay, that's my secret anyways. Whenever I'm in a conference, that's one way that I try to keep myself awake. Okay, now this little book, which is written by Brother Lee or spoken by Brother Lee in 1958, it's in the collected works of Witness Lee, 1958, volume 1. Okay, so that's a reference that you can write it down. And also for the rest of this message, you can, for those of you who accepts challenges, you can also go to the life study of the Gospel of Matthew. The messages are 33, 38, and 50. Okay, so these three messages, plus this little book called The Vision of the Tree of Life, I think it will help you appreciate the burden of this conference. And then, of course, you know, on the negative side, later on, we'll cover the matter of the flesh. And this, you can go to a book called The Basic Lessons on Service, Chapter 7. There is the chapter is called Knowing Yourself. Why do we need to know ourselves? Because that's the biggest frustration to our coming to the tree of life. Amen. Okay, so we need to understand the positive things, but we also need to be aware of the negative things. Okay, so concerning the tree of life, we need to see that this is a controlling vision of the Bible. So write that down, students, okay? The tree of life, which is at the beginning of the Bible, right? In Genesis 1 and 2, after Adam was created by God, he was placed in front of a tree. And that tree was called the tree of life. So, in a sense, if you look at the entire Bible, right, it's a very thick book, very long book, right? If you were to kind of condense it and said, what is the kernel of the Bible, right? We can say that it's contained in the first two chapters and the last two chapters of the Bible. So we can say, in other words, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and then Revelation 21 and 22, these four chapters, they are the two ends of the Bible, or the two bookends of the Bible. The two ends should form a straight line, okay? So from Genesis 1 and 2 to Revelation 21, 22, actually, in God's original intention, this is just simply a straight line. A straight line is what? It's simple, right? But what happened because of the fall of man? From Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, right? And the ministry helped us in this way, in a better way to understand this. It just seems like mankind have taken a detour, okay? You know what a detour is? Yes. If you want to go from Austin Lands to Winnipeg, there's a straight way. That is Trans-Canada Highway. I think last night, the three of us brothers, you know, the brothers this time put three of us foreigners here, out-of-towners. So I said, we are like three blind minds trying to go around the vicinity or the greater Winnipeg area. So we took a little detour because we got lost. Okay. Anyway, this is I just felt this is a wonderful picture. Okay. God's intention is that the tree of life, which formed the line of life, will bring us straight to the end of the Bible, which is what? The consummation of the tree of life. And that is the New Jerusalem. Amen. And what is the New Jerusalem? The Bible also tells us that it is the city of life. It is the city of the water of life. Amen. It is a city of the light of life, right? But unfortunately, mankind took a detour. And that detour caused us a lot of aggravation and tragedy, right? And unnecessary wastage of time. So that's why, through the help of this ministry, we can see that this is the controlling vision of the Bible. Amen. And what is that? Is that we need to choose life. Amen. We need to stay on the line of life. We should not be distracted. Amen. We should not take a detour, Amen. Right? But in our experience, we often have that, right? We kind of lost focus. We got distracted. And we never know how to get back, right? To come back, right? So I think this is the very important opening word that I'd like you to know. So here, okay, in these two chapters concerning the Bible, there are four things, and I think it's worthwhile for you to write it down. These four things are what? If you consider the entire Bible, these four things. Number one, life. Number two, image. Image equals expression, right? Number three is dominion, okay? And dominion, we can also use another word, is authority. We represent God, okay? And then that would bring us to the bride of Christ, the counterpart of Christ, okay? Among these four things, we can say life is the unique cause, you know, C-A-U-S-E, right? And what does that mean? The remaining three items are the issue of life. God's entering into man to be life brings in three issues. And these three issues are, first, life causes man to have God's image in order to be like God, in order that we can express God. And life makes men's, so the first thing is that we have the image of God, we can express God, and then life subjects men to God's authority so that men can have dominion for God. Right? We can be the representation of God to subdue his enemy.
Amen.
And then third, life makes men God's counterpart, right? God's bride, meaning to say when we are his bride, we are joined to God.
Amen.
Right? When a man and a woman are joined together in marriage and holy matrimony, that means the two became one flesh. Okay. This is the revelation contained in the first two chapters of Genesis. Then, we can then say the first two chapters and the last two chapters of the Bible are the main line of the Bible. The rest of the chapters are secondary line. Okay? So this is another key word. There's a main line of the Bible. There is a secondary line. Okay? Our problem is sometimes we stay on the secondary line and we forget all about the main line. Okay. The ministry helps us to understand this by a painting. If you look at a painting, there's the background, right? But the background is to bring forth the subject of the painting, right? So if you look at a painting, my wife and I and my children, we love going to art galleries. And if you look at a painting, right, don't get too distracted to all the all the subsidiary things, right? Try to pick up what is the main subject of that painting. So we can then say from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 20, this huge detour, it's mainly concerning what? In the detour, earlier the five matters are in the first two chapters of the Bible. Now, in this huge and long detour, there are five different matters, which we need to know. Number one is Satan. Number two is sin. Number three, the flesh. Number four, the world. And all of this will culminate in death. Should I repeat it? Number one is Satan. He is the source of sin. Through him, sin was injected into mankind. And then, because of sin, man became a flesh. Okay. Then after that, the world, which is a system of Satan, to enslave us in that system of error. Right? And then all of this will culminate in death. Okay. I think this is good enough for an opening word. Now, I'd like you to open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Now, I hope this weekend we can memorize this verse. Other than Romans chapter 8, okay, this is a good verse for us to memorize. And let me read it to you. This is what was spoken by Moses. How old was Moses when he spoke these words to the children of Israel? At that time, it was about, he was about 120 years old, okay? And this was almost a cry from Moses before he went to be with the Lord. You know, if you want to listen to somebody speaking, if that person is about to die, well, you better listen very carefully, okay? And so this verse says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. So who is calling? Moses was calling. He was praying on behalf of the children of Israel. He said, I have set before you life and death. Set means what? I have put in front of you, right? This two matters, life and death. Okay. And then what else? Blessing and curse. Life brings us blessing. Death brings us curse. Therefore, choose life. Let's say it. Therefore, choose life. Brothers and sisters, we should choose what?
Life.
Okay. That you and your seed may live. You know, the English word S-E-E-D, I think in Chinese is very clear because that means your descendants, your children, and their children, right? last week, Albert and I, we were in the Philippines, and I shared this to the saints there. You know, during the turmoil, Brother Lee spoke to me a similar word. He said, Robert, do you want to live a kind of church life that is a mixture, meaning it's kind of grayish? You know, are you for the Lord's recovery or are you not? You know, it's everything is okay, right? I said, of course, I would like to be in life, you know, and to take the way of the Lord's recovery. I think Brother Lee was very smart. He said to me, he said, what about your children? I said, that's not enough. Then he said, how about their children? Oh, when I heard that, I was all shaken up because I could be wishy-washy, but when it comes to my children and their children, I need to take a stand. I think this somewhat is the meaning here.
Amen.
Right? Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. Amen. To the parents here, I think we need to come before the Lord to make that decision. Amen. For ourselves, for our children, and for their children.
Amen.
If we are not absolute for the Lord, do not expect our children to be absolute for the Lord. For this, we need to pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
That for the rest of my life, for the rest of my Christian life, I will always remain in the way of life.
Amen.
I will take the way of life. I will choose life. I will not compromise life for anything else, right? And it's not just for my own individual, private, selfish enjoyment. It is for my children, for their children. I need to choose life. I need to make that decision. Dear brothers and sisters, I wish and I pray that the churches in Canada will all be in life.
Amen.
Not one church will be in death, right? And take the wrong way. I think for this, we have no other way but to humble ourselves and ask the Lord for his mercy and for his grace.
Amen.
By ourselves, we cannot do it, right? But together, we can. If you choose life, your choosing will help me choose.
Amen.
If I'm wishy-washy, you will be wishy-washy. If the leading brothers are not absolute, we will all be not absolute, right? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I think I can sit down because this is really my burden, okay? But we need to cover the outline. So let's come quickly to the outline. Okay, let's read the general subject, okay, first. Chapters 5 through 8 of Romans, the kernel of the Bible. I think the churches in Canada, I think a year or so ago, we covered the life studies of Romans. Am I correct? Okay. Or I would say most of the churches. But this conference is to zero in on these five chapters, right? from Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. No, four chapters. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, four chapters. And we can say that this is the kernel of the Bible. Now, where is the source of this expression, the kernel of the Bible? Do you know? It's from Romans 5, 14, in a footnote there. Okay, so you can write it down or circle it, and then you can read it on your own. It's from Romans chapter 5, verse 14, in the footnote. Okay, then we also need to pay attention to the word kernel. Kernel, if you look at a walnut, there is the shell, but there's also the walnut, the center of that, the walnut. Okay, so when we eat the walnut, we throw away the shells, or we crack open the shells so that we can get to the seed, the kernel, the most basic and central point, right? Okay, so that's the meaning of the word kernel. Then let's read the title of message one. The line of life and the line of death.
Chapters 5 through 8 of Romans.
So there is a line of life, there is a line of death. These two are parallel. It starts from the beginning of the Bible. It will end at the end of the Bible. Okay. Then let's go to, I already told you the references, you know, some of the reference books that we can get into. Now let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's read it.
Chapters 5 through 8 of Romans can be called the kernel of the Bible.
Amen. Amen. So in these four chapters, there are two key words, life and death. And these are mentioned repeatedly in Romans 5 through 8. Life in those verses, and then death in those verses. Now, it would be good if you go home, in your private study time, you can go through each and every one of these verses, and you can trace the two lines. Okay, I did that. You know, I wrote it all down here, but we don't have time to cover them. Okay, because the brothers are running a very tight schedule here. Anyway, it's very interesting if you can go through these four chapters, and it's not a big deal here because it's already listed. If you look at all the scriptural references, you know, listed in the beginning of the message of the outline, there are, okay, let's go back there. You can see Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. So all of those verses after that, and actually there's more because there's no way that the writer of this outline can list out all the verses, but you can trace these two lines. Okay, then, so in A, these two key words, life and death, are mentioned repeatedly in Romans 5 through 8. So life and death. And they form two contrasting lines through Romans 5 to 8, the line of life and the line of death, showing that man is in a triangular situation between God and Satan, life and death. So I think one of the thing that you need to pay attention to in this point is life and death. And where is man? Man, we are in a triangular situation. On one side, there's God or life. On the other side, there is death or Satan. And we are caught in the middle. And that's why we need to make a choice. Okay. Then let's go on to the next point. Can you read it? B.
The tree of life and the tree of knowledge, the tree of death, issue in two lines, the line of life and the line of death, that runs through the entire Bible and end in the book of Revelation. Life begins with the tree of life and ends with the new Jerusalem as the city of the water of life, with the tree of life, the light of life, and the glory of life. Death begins with the tree of knowledge and ends with the lake of fire.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, I mentioned this already, and we need to see that the ultimate issue which is the two ends of this, the two ends, they reflect each other, right? They reflect, if you look at Genesis 1 and 2 and then Revelation 21, 22, it's like a mirror, right, that reflects each other. The tree of life in Genesis, it ends in the New Jerusalem, but the New Jerusalem is not a physical place. It's not a physical city. It's what? It's the union, the mingling, the incorporation of God and men to become a city of life, the light of life, the water of life, right? So life will continue and ends in the New Jerusalem, but death will continue and ends where? In the lake of fire. Who will be thrown to the lake of fire?
Satan
and all the unbelievers. So I think the destiny there is pretty clear to us. Okay, then let's go to C. Eating the tree of life, that is enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy Him, the richer the content will be. I think we need to pay attention to this matter concerning the eating of the tree of life. Whenever we talk about eating, we are referring to what? The enjoyment. I think this week, ever since we arrived in Winnipeg, we have been eating and eating and eating. And isn't that such an enjoyment? Right? College students, did you enjoy?
Yeah.
How come the way you said it is, it doesn't seem like you enjoyed it? Did you enjoy all the food that the brothers here served?
Yeah.
So our eating is our enjoyment.
Amen.
Okay. Now, what is this? The eating of the tree of life is the secondary matter.
No.
What is it?
Primary.
What does the word primary means?
First,
right? It's the number one.
Right.
It's the most important, right? Everything else can go, but this matter cannot go.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, I think this, we need to change our concept. It's not to work for the Lord. It's not to set up a hospital. It's not just to, you know, do this, do that, you know, be so busy, right? But eating the tree of life is the most important matter in the church life. And then the other thing I want you to pay attention to is the content. When we talk about the church, which is the body of Christ, there is a content, right? What is the content of the church? Saints? Huh? Oscar?
Eating
Christ, which is the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
So the more enjoyment, the more content the church will be.
That's right.
Do you want to be in a church that is just empty, with no content, right? Everything is so shallow. And how do we help the content of the church, enrich the content of the church? It's by enjoying the tree of life.
Amen.
Okay, then indeed. But to enjoy Christ, so here is a condition, okay? We talk about enjoyment of Christ, you can shout about it, but then D is the test. What is the test? We need to love Him, okay? So let's read it. But to enjoy Christ requires us to love Him with the first love. If we look for our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the lampstand will be removed from us. So in this outline point, there is a condition of our enjoyment of Christ, and that is we need to love Him with the first love, okay? We need to love Him to the uttermost. but then there is a problem here. If we don't love Him and give Him the first place, there will be a consequence. And what is that consequence? We will lose the testimony of Jesus. Meaning to say, when people come to our midst, they will not know any difference between us and the world. I think that's very serious. Because when they come to our midst, they will not see the Lord Jesus Christ. They will see so many things, right? Okay, and then also, the lampstand will be removed from us. This is in from these verses in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Oh, Lord, this is a serious word. Okay, now let's go to E. To recover the first love is to consider the Lord Jesus as the first in everything. If we make Christ everything in our life, this means that we have overcome the loss of the first love. Now then, here in point E, is to tell us, what does it mean to be recovered to our first love? Okay, that means we need to give the Lord Jesus the first place in everything. Okay, I think we need to circle the word everything. Everything means what? It is not just referring to big things in life. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to get married, so today I give the Lord the first place. Okay. In everything, meaning every single day, the moment you get up from your bed, where's your mind? What do you do? Do you open up your cell phone? I do that all the time. In big things and in small things, I think especially in the small things. You know, big things is what? Oh, tomorrow I'm going for a job interview, right? Oh, I'm going to submit application for university, right? These are the big things in my life, right? Then suddenly the Lord is my first place. But in small things, in the daily things, in the normal things of our daily human life, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? I think he's usually in the bottom of the list, right? When you go shopping, where is the Lord? When you're about to drive your car, right? Where is the Lord? Okay, I think this is something that is so practical. Okay, then in F, the Lord speaking to the church in Ephesus can be summarized with four crucial words. You know, this matter of leaving their first love, this is the Lord's word to the church in Ephesus. So if you were to summarize the Spirit speaking to Ephesus, and it's the four letters that starts with L. Can we say these four words? Love, life, light, and lampstand. Now, these four words are in sequential order, meaning to say one causes the other, right? It goes down that way. You cannot just jump from one to the fourth word, okay? So what does that mean? We must give the Lord Jesus the preeminence in every way and in everything to recover the first love. So the first thing is we need to love him. Then we will enjoy him as the tree of life. Now, what does that mean? If we don't love the Lord, do you think you would want to read the word? You check with your own experience, right? No. Like when I go to see a movie, when I come home, I'm not sure. You trust what I just said, because this is from my own experience. I open up the same Bible, the same chapter. There's no appetite. There's no interest, right? Do you have that experience?
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. So we need to love him. And then we will enjoy him as the tree of life. The tree of life is what? It's a symbol to tell us that Christ comes to us to be our life, right? And this is contained in his word. So we need to enjoy the word of God.
Amen.
Then this life right away becomes the light of life. Right, the word of God will bring us to darkness? No, it will bring us to light. It will shine upon us.
Amen.
Brother, you spoke something earlier this morning, and I think it's not very appropriate. That's the light of life. So at that moment, you will open yourself to the Lord, and you will be cooperative. Right. You will go and deal with it.
Amen.
Okay, that's what it means by the light of life. Then we will be shining in our daily life and corporately as the lampstand, right? When we receive the light of life, that's in a personal way. When the light shines through us, it shines through me, it shines through you, it shines through all of us. That becomes a corporate shining, a corporate expression. And that is the golden lampstand, right? Amen. Okay, now let's go on. You know, I'm so sorry. I just don't have all these verses are just so wonderful. For example, John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Who in the entire universe can utter such an expression other than the Lord Jesus himself?
Amen.
Whenever we come and touch him, we touch light.
That's right.
Okay. And then in G, the evil condition of the wicked to eat and enjoy the Lord. They do many things, but they do not come to contact the Lord, to take him, to receive him, to taste him, and to enjoy him. In the sight of God, nothing is more evil than this. So in God's expectation, our destiny is to enjoy him, not just to work for him. But the evil condition of the people is just the opposite. Okay, in Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, that is on the positive side. Okay, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? I think we do that all the time. Okay, and the result of your labor for what does not satisfy. We spend so much time for things that are temporal, things that will never, never satisfy us. Hear me attentively and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And then there's a cross-reference, you know, in the same chapter, you read 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. Now, and then here is the negative side in Jeremiah 2:13. What does it say? My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's number one, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. That just simply means that we would do everything to do things but would never satisfy, but we will never be satisfied with it. Okay, so that's the evil condition of the people. Okay, then underneath that, let's read. How about right now, it's good for the students to all stand up and let's read all those points underneath, 1, 2, and 3, okay? It's good to exercise a little bit. Okay. Now, let's read it with a strong spirit. Sorry, I meant Roman numeral 2.
Today, the believer is a miniature garden of Eden. God as the tree of life is in his spirit. Satan as the tree of knowledge is in his flesh.
Amen.
His mind is in between.
We are either in the spirit or in the flesh. There is no third place for us to be. This is why we must set our mind on the Spirit. Okay, while you're standing, read A. Yeah.
Man's body was originally pure, but through man's fall, Satan injected himself into man, and man's body has become the flesh.
Okay, and then 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Our body is the body of sin, and the body of this death.
Amen.
The body of sin is very active and full of strength in sinning against God. But the body of this death is weak and powerless in acting to please God.
Amen. 2. As long as we are still living until the day of our redemption, the body of sin and death is always with us. 3. The flesh
is the meeting hall and flesh is a hopeless case and can never be improved.
Amen. So you can be seated. Now, I just want to use a little time just to point out some key concepts in these points that you just read. In Roman numeral 2, we can see that as in the picture of the Garden of Eden, which is in the beginning of the Bible, we are all familiar with that picture, right? The story of the Garden of Eden. Okay, so in that picture, we can see that there is God and Satan, and then there is man in the middle. Okay, so this is what we need to remember. Now, when we talk about set our mind on the Spirit, that setting of your mind, the mind is the part of your soul, the leading part of your soul. Man is created with the spirit, the soul, and the body. But in the soul, there's also three parts, the mind, the emotion, and the will. And the mind is the leading part of your soul. You can say that our soul is our person, our personality, right? So when we talk about in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to set our mind on the Spirit as versus setting our mind on the flesh. That setting of the mind is what? It's making a decision. You just have to make a choice, right? And you need to exercise your transformed and renewed will, right? To set it, okay? To make that choice, right? To make a decision that I'm going to be in the Spirit and I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. I will live in the Spirit. Amen. So I just want you to pay attention to this. The setting of your mind is to make a choice. Amen. And then here in point A, this matter of the flesh was brought in. Man's body was originally pure, but through man's fall, Satan injected himself into man, and man's body has become the flesh. Okay? The flesh is ugly. Okay? Don't feed yourself. Okay? If you read Basic Lessons on Service, chapter 7, I already alluded to that earlier, is to know your flesh. Okay. The problem in the church life, oftentimes, is we do not know our flesh. So we cause a lot of problems. Okay. Don't say that because this is something negative, therefore, we just don't talk about it and we don't need to know about it. No. To know what is the real currency, you need to understand what is the counterfeit currency, right? Okay. Then, point one. Now, this is a word to the college students. Our body, which is our physical body, the Bible says in Romans, it says, chapter 6, verse 6, it is the body of sin. Why? Because Satan, the father of lies, the source of sin, he injected himself into mankind, making our body, our physical body, a body of sin. And then in chapter 7, 24, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, it's not just a body of sin, but sin brought in what? Death. So it is also a body of death. Now, how do we know that? Whenever it comes to God's economy and God's interest, our body is weak. We simply have no control over it. And that's why many, many churches to this day in the Lord's recovery, when it comes to the prayer meeting, suddenly I have a headache. Suddenly I came home from work and I'm dizzy, I'm weak, I am tired, right? The children are crying, dinner is not yet prepared. What goes first? The prayer meeting. I'm just giving you an illustration. Is that your experience? When it's time to register for the SST, right? Oh, that can wait. You know, I'm not sure if I should go or not. Okay, so we waited until the very last day. Okay, That is the body of sin, which is the body of this death operating in you. And I think we all have that experience. When we go to a department store, I already have so many shirts at home and none of them is wrong with it. But when I go to a department store, I have to buy this. Right? I look at this pair of sneakers, you know, it's a brand name. Oh, I have to buy it, right? But you have 10 other pairs at home, right? Okay, what is that? That simply shows us that this body of sin and of death is working very strongly in you. Amen. So that's why the outline says it's very active, right? Oh, I'm about to lose my temper, and I just cannot control it. That's the body of sin working in you. It's very active, and it's full of strength in sinning against God. But the body of this death is weak and powerless in acting to please God. Okay, then in 2, as long as we are still living until the day of our redemption, the body of sin and death is always with us. So circle that. Always with us. Always with us. Right? In God's economy, he did not allow this to depart from us. Right? How simple it would be if we could be totally redeemed from that or delivered from that. But God allowed it to remain with us. And then this matter of the meeting hall. The meeting hall is what? Like right now we are converged here in the meeting hall of the church in Winnipeg. So it is a converging point of all these things, right? And what are here? It's a compound of sin, death, and Satan, right? The flesh is the hopeless case and can never be improved. Okay, so that's a negative situation. Let's go to B. How about all the community saints? Let's read that in B. For the sake of his economy, God in his wisdom and sovereignty uses our sinful, ugly flesh
to force us to turn to our spirit
so that we may gain more of the spirit for his building by the growth of God in us. And here, the most important word to underline or to circle is what? To force us. Okay. The negative picture, right, BJ, is to force us to turn to our spirit, right? So the negative things are there for a purpose. Not to control us, so that we can be enslaved by it. But it's the circumstances, the outward situation that would help us, force us to what? To turn to our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, right now we can turn to our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So that we can gain more of the capital S spirit, which is God's spirit, for his building by the growth of God in us. Okay, then let's go to the next point in 1. So for these 6 points, how about let's all just read it together, huh? There's no time to go through it. Let's just read through it. How about let's all stand up, okay? Amen. I know the temperature is getting hotter. That's a good idea, right? Standing up. Okay. Let's read it slowly with understanding. Okay, point 1. Judicially speaking, both Satan and our flesh were condemned once for all on the cross. But God allowed the flesh to remain with us to help us and force us to turn to Christ
in our spirit and have no more confidence in the flesh.
Okay, so circle turn to Christ. And then circle, no more confidence in the flesh. Okay, don't trust your flesh. Okay? Okay, now let's go to 2. Without the help rendered by the sinful, ugly self, flesh, we would not be as desperate to gain the Lord or to have him into us. So circle what? Desperate to gain the Lord. Especially the word desperate. Oh, college students, I just wish Canada will be filled with young people that are desperate for the Lord.
Amen.
Instead of being indifferent.
Right.
right? We need to be desperate for God's interest and for God's move. Okay, three. Our goal may be holiness or spirituality or victory, but God's goal
is to work himself into us,
to make us glorious.
Often when we are in a difficult situation,
we are more open to the Lord and more willing to turn to him and allow him to work himself into us. So circle God's goal. What is God's goal? Work himself into us. And to make us what?
Glorious.
Is it to make us fleshly?
No.
No, but it's to make us glorious.
Amen.
And what is glory? Glory is God expressed.
Amen.
So to make us glory means to make us like God, become God in life and in nature.
Amen.
Okay, four.
If we see him, even the sinful compound of the flesh will become a help to us in gaining the Lord. Because we fail so often, we are desperate to turn to the Spirit, and in this way we gain more of the Spirit.
Amen. Now this is a word of comfort. Whoever never have any failures, you don't need to read 4 again. But for those of us who oftentimes fail, we are weak, we are a failure. Let's read 4 again. I will be number 1 to read it. If we seek him, even the simple compound of the flesh will become a help to us in gaining the Lord. Because we fail so often, we are desperate to turn to the Spirit. And in this way, we gain more of the Spirit. Okay, then 5. Our hardships, defects,
failures, and disappointments
force us to realize that there is no hope in the flesh. The flesh is good only to force us to turn to Christ in our spirit, to press us into the Spirit, to make us desperate to get into the Spirit, and to keep us watchful to stay in the Spirit. Amen. I think the words here is what? Desperate.
Amen.
To get into the Spirit. Keep us watchful. And then we stay in the Spirit. Okay? Good. Now, number 6. The Lord does not care for whether or not we have a victory. The Lord cares for only one thing. That we gain Christ by setting our mind on the Spirit. So circle gain Christ and setting our mind on the Spirit. Okay? Amen. So those are the 6 points under Roman numeral 2. Okay, let's be seated. I think this is really a word of the gospel.
Amen.
To understand our enemy, the flesh. Right? And what its purpose for us is to force us to turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
And to make us desperate for everything concerning God and his interest.
Amen.
Okay, number 3. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. In Romans 6, we are in Christ. In Romans 7, we are in the flesh. And in Romans 8, we are in the Spirit. The Adam in chapter 5 is experienced in the flesh in chapter 7.
And the Christ in chapter 6
is experienced in the Spirit in
chapter 8.
Okay, I think the best way to help us understand Roman numeral 3 is what? There are 2 facts, F-A-C-T-S, and there are 2 experiences. Okay, so in Romans chapter 5, the first fact is that we are in Adam. We are born into Adam. There's nothing we can do about it, okay? So that's a fact. There's nothing to argue about it. It's just a fact, okay? And then in Romans 6 is the second fact that praise the Lord through his redemption, right? We are in Christ.
Right?
Through our regeneration, through our being born again, we are in Christ. And what are the 2 experiences? In Romans 7, we are in the flesh. We just covered that, right? We are in the flesh. Isn't that an experience?
Right.
Oh, we experience that all the time, even right now, as you're sitting here. The flesh is still working in you. Okay. And then in Romans 8, we are in the Spirit. Amen. Oh, that we will cover on Lord's Day morning, tomorrow morning. Okay. So that's why it says in the Adam that is in chapter 5 is experienced in the flesh, right? In chapter 7. And then the Christ in chapter 6 is experienced in the Spirit in chapter 8. So A, we believers in Christ have a factual and positional transfer out of Adam through Christ's death and into Christ through his resurrection. There are two matters here. You need to circle. One is factual. The other one is positional. Okay? The two facts in Adam, in Christ, that's factual. But in our experience, right, we have to every day have a positional transfer, right? If you're in Adam, well, you need to transfer yourself into Christ. That's a positional transfer. Now, that transfer is a daily matter. It's not a once and for all matter. On the day of your regeneration, you experience the first transfer. But you don't stop there, because for the rest of your Christian life, every single day, you need to experience a transfer. The ministry helped us to understand this by electricity, okay? And Brother Witness Lee gave us an illustration. He said when he was growing up in China in the olden days, they only have oil lamps, okay? So every day they have to clean the lamp. They have to add the oil. Sometimes the oil becomes dirty, so they have to put in new oil, okay? So just to have light in the room, they have to go through those procedures. And he likened that to an old habit. Our old habit, right, is to do it the archaic way, the old way. But through technology, we have electricity. What happened? You want light? What do? You switch on the light. You just switch on, right? And that is so convenient, and that is so easy. But in our experience, what do? We are still trimming the lamps. We are still adding the oil in a very slow way. So people have to wait for us. Do you see the illustration? So today it is so easy for us to turn to our Spirit. We just call on the name of the Lord. Amen. We set our mind on the Spirit. Immediately you are brought to the realm of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, so that's the meaning of we need to have a positional transfer. Every single day, we will never graduate from switching on. Okay, then in A, in one is to tell us about in Adam. In two is to tell us about in Christ. So in Adam, we inherited sin. Okay, that's, you can write number one beside sin. And that sin constitutes us as sinners. That's number two. We inherited death. That's number three. So in Adam, there's sin, and we are constituted sinners. And because we are sinners, we're destined for death. Now, most people don't like to hear death. The Chinese people, whom I am one, we do not like to hear the word death. If you go to a building, especially in the Far East, you don't see four number four. Why? Because in Chinese, 十 and number four, 四, they look the same. They sound the same. Does it sound the same to you, Brother Frank? 十 and 四. So they don't, that's superstitious. But anyway, the fact is we don't like to talk about death. Okay, but in Romans, the book of Romans, the word death, there is one positive death, and that is the death of Christ. Amen. The others are all negative. Okay, it mentions about 20 times. But the word life, it only mentioned what? 10 times. So what is that ratio, Adam? 20 versus 10, a ratio of 2 to 1, right? So more death. but less life. Isn't that strange? That's in Romans. Okay, now, let's go on, huh? So in Adam, we have these things, right? Okay, then death, how do we know we are in death? It weakens us. It disabling us to do things pleasing to God. That, on the other hand, it reigns over us. Death reigns over us. That means what? It controls us. We are enslaved by it. And we cannot get out of it. Okay. And the end result is we inherited condemnation under the law and unto death. Okay. Then in Christ, that's number two. The flip side of this is wonderful. In Christ, we have been, number one, gifted what?
Righteousness.
With righteousness. And actually, in the word, it says it's grace with righteousness. Because in Romans 5:17, for if by the offense of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So in Christ, we do not just inherit grace, but it's grace with righteousness. Okay. And then because of that, we reign in life. We receive the eternal life into us, and we reign in life. And that's in opposition to being reigned in death through the one, Jesus Christ. Okay. So those are the things that we inherited or that we receive when we are in Christ. Okay. And the end result is, opposite to being condemned by God, we are justified by God, right, under grace unto life, and in which reign with grace over all things. Right. So, dear saints, do you want to be in Adam?
No.
No. In Christ.
Amen.
And our destiny is to be in Christ. Our portion is to be in Christ. Okay, in B, let's read it together. We believers in Christ have a practical and experiential transfer. Through our being crucified with Christ. The practical and experiential Christ. Through our organic union with Christ as the law of the Spirit of life. Now, some of these things we'll cover in message 5, which is tomorrow morning, because mainly these are from Romans chapter 8. Remember at the beginning of this message, I said this message 1 is kind of like an overall view, okay, of these four chapters, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So in this outline, we're covering, you know, all these four chapters, right, in kind of like a summarized way, okay. Then in C, Christ himself. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we're coming to the end of it. Okay, so let's read it together. When I look at Sean, I get so nervous because he's our timekeeper here. Okay. See, Christ himself is the life of God, the eternal life. He came that we may have life and may have it abundantly. He died a life releasing death and entered into a life dispensing resurrection.
To become the life giving spirit.
As the law of the Spirit of life.
Giving life to our spirit.
Our mind and our mortal bodies. So that we might be those who are swallowed up by life to minister life to others. This is a very crucial, very positive point. Okay, I hope you can digest it yourself. But here, I'd like to comfort you with this verse from John 10:10b. The Lord Jesus came to what? To give us
life.
Did he come to put us under law?
No.
Did he expect us to fulfill all the requirements of the law?
No.
He came to give us life and what? Life more? Yes. Not just a trickle of life, but life more abundantly,
amen.
Right? So dear young people, as far as the divine life, the God's life, the uncreated life of God, we need to have a ferocious appetite.
Amen.
Lord, you came to give me more life.
Amen.
And life abundantly.
Amen.
But what about me?
Right.
Do I have the appetite? Do I have the willingness to receive you into me as more life? Right? Or am I always closed up so that there's no way for life to enter into me? You need to consider this. Okay. Then, in Roman numeral 4, it's quite interesting that when Brother Ed Marks wrote this outline, he inserted these two excerpts from Brother Lee's own testimony, and I think is well worth an understanding. Okay, in our reading. But I'd like to share a little bit to you concerning the background. At that time, Brother Lee, in his ministry, he was ill for 2.5 years, okay? And as he was lying in bed, you know, 2.5 years is a long period of time. If you go to college for 4 years, 2.5 years is more than a half, right? By then, you've probably got a half of a degree, right? So 2.5 years to be in bed, I think that's a terribly long time, right? So at that time, he was just before the Lord. He was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to know? Okay, this is the background. Okay, let's read it together. How about that?
Amen.
Are you still awake?
Amen.
Okay, you don't need to stand up?
Yep.
Okay, let's read it with enjoyment. Okay, taking...
Wait
a minute. Before that, let's read Roman numeral 4. In order for us to stay we must take the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life. See crucial fellowship from Brother Lee below. So Roman numeral 4 is so important because it is showing us the way.
Amen.
All the above tells us so many things. But now you need to tell me, how do I eat?
Right.
How do I eat? Do I eat with my hands? Do I eat with knives and forks? Or do I eat with chopsticks? Right? How do I eat? Okay, so let's read that together. Taking the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life. Crucial fellowship from Brother Lee. In May of 1943, I had contracted a serious case of tuberculosis. I saw the tree of life of my illness. During those 2.5 years, I saw that in the Lord's recovery and in his work, we lack life. Now, let's take a pause there for a little bit of comment. Most Christians, they take Genesis 1 and 2 as a storybook, the Garden of Eden. There are two trees, right? So that's why they pay attention, Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 21, because those are more interesting to them, right? Oh, the different signs, the different types, the different prophecies. But the tree of life, what is that? It doesn't make sense, you know. God put Adam in front of the tree of life. Okay, so at that time, Brother Lee had already been serving the Lord for so many years. Suddenly, the Lord showed him the vision concerning the tree of life.
Amen.
Okay, let's continue. This is not... Okay, sorry, I'm just telling you, okay. The tree of life is not outside of us. It's inside of us.
Amen.
It's not in the storybook.
Yeah.
It's real to our spiritual
Amen.
Life. Okay, now let's continue with the excerpt. Every kind of problem, regardless of what it may be, is the result of the shortage of life. When I saw this, I was extremely remorseful. I confessed much and had a thorough repentance before the Lord, and I also had many dealings before him. The messages on the tree of life saved many saints and also released many of the brothers and sisters in Nanking. Because of the 4 years of turmoil in the church in Shanghai, the saints had been disheartened and depressed for years and were unable to do anything. These messages released their spirit and enlighten their heart. The messages on the Tree of Life. The church in Shanghai was healed. The messages on the Tree of Life laid a foundation for the revival of the church in Shanghai. So circle the word shortage of life. That's the cause of all the problems in the church life. Not just in your personal life, but also in the church life. The church in Shanghai went through a turmoil of at least 4 years. What kind of a turmoil? It was terrible. They stopped the ministry of Watchman Nee, right? Can you imagine if Watchman Nee were allowed to minister continually without any interruption? Maybe there's so much more riches in the Lord's recovery today. But unfortunately, there was a problem. There was a turmoil. And that Brother Lee, in his sickness, was shown by the Lord that it's caused by the shortage of life. Okay, continue. If we want to take the way of enjoying God, we must have a change of concept. So circle that, change of concept. Okay? Don't think, young people, that you don't have a concept. If you are a human being, you have concepts. Some concepts are young, other concepts are old. No matter what, we all have concepts. Concepts also equals what? Opinions. Okay, let's continue. If we want to enter into the reality of the enjoyment of God, we must see a controlling vision. So this brings us to the beginning of my introductory word. We need to see a controlling vision, which is the vision of the Tree of Life. It was not until I was 40 years of age that the Lord revealed to me the way of enjoying Him. I was disappointed that for 20 years, most of my time and energy had been wasted. Most of my prayers were of no value, and the time that I had spent reading the Bible and other spiritual books was also of no value. This is when I realized that our way of working was wrong and that our way of spiritual pursuit was also wrong. Because I suffered a great loss from taking the wrong way, I do not want others to repeat the same mistake. Others can take the way of enjoying God. I implore the saints to no longer take the wrong way. We should consider our former way of pursuit. We must have a drastic change of concept. We need to have a controlling vision. Okay, I think this concludes this message one. Dear saints, I hope the Lord will shine upon us to take the way of enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I think we should pray two by two. Yeah, just for a minute. Amen.